Turn with me, if you would, to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Our text is actually 2 Corinthians chapter 8. But what the Apostle Paul says here in Philippians 2, this will help us to enter into what he's saying over in 2 Corinthians 8. Philippians 2, verse 1, it says, "If there be, therefore, any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies." I've always loved that verse. If there's any consolation in Christ, any comfort of love, any fellowship of the Spirit, any bowels, that means heart and mercies. He said in verse 2, "Fulfill ye my joy, that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." That's the summary of everything that he is going to say in 2 Corinthians 8 and 2 Corinthians 9 on the subject of giving. Last week we started 2 Corinthians 8, and he's talking about this subject of giving. And this summarizes everything he's saying. Verse 5, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." And why would God do that? It's because God so loved the world. That's the reason. God loved this wicked world, and he gave his only begotten Son. Turn with me over to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. Verse 10 says, "Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." Now watch verse 11. "Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another." That's what he's saying. If God so loved us. Back up in verse 7, he said, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him." The motivation of everything God gave for us was love. That's the motivation, love. And everything that we do in return, that's the motivation, love. Love. Now go with me to our text, 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians 8. We're going to pick up with verse 8, but let's start reading in verse 1. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 1 says, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit, we want you to know, of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power, or to their ability, I bear record, yea, and beyond their ability, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God, insomuch that we desired Titus that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Therefore, as you abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that you abound in this grace also. He said, I want to tell you about the Macedonians, how God's grace was greatly bestowed on them. Greatly, greatly bestowed on them. Even though they were in the middle of a great trial of affliction. And that's something that every believer will go through, a great trial of affliction. And he said, even though they were experiencing deep poverty, they were willing of themselves to take up everything they had the ability to give. They, in and amongst themselves, they gathered together everything they had to give to make up an offering for the saints who were in greater need than they were. You know, there is always a believer who is going through more than we are going through. We naturally feel sorry for ourselves. We focus on what we're going through. We focus on what we're in the middle of. May the Lord cause us to enter into the fact that there is always a believer who is going through more. These Macedonians were in such deep poverty. Poverty like we'll never experience. The brethren in Mexico experienced poverty like we'll never experience by God's grace. And they didn't have anything. They didn't have anything. But still, they took everything they had. And they said, we believe they're in a worse state than we are. And they begged Paul, would you please take it to them? They need it more than we need it. And what an example. An example of love, and as we're about to see, they're proving the sincerity of their love. And that is such an important thing for us to remember. There's always a believer who's going through more than I am. Always. And Paul said, whenever he saw how much they had given, how much they made up, he said, I was in shock. Just in shock. They gave it all. And he said, I'm telling you this to encourage you to do the same thing. Verse 7. Therefore, as you abound in everything, in faith, God gives more faith to believe, and you abound in it. And he said, in utterance of the gospel and knowledge of the word and in all diligence to worship, in your love to us, see that you abound in this grace, he called it, this grace of liberality, this grace of kindness. This grace of love, this grace of giving, he said, see that you abound in that one also. Abound in faith and abound in this same grace also. Now in verse 8, he says, I speak not by commandment. I love that. I love that. He said, I am not commanding you to give. Don't you love that? I'm not commanding you to give. I speak not by commandment. This is not the tithe written in the law. That's not what this is. He said over and over again, he called it a grace. He said this is a grace. A grace is something that is freely bestowed from the heart. Freely given in the heart. If you make a law out of it, you remove all grace. I'm going to give you an example of that, okay? Horatius Bonar said, men have repeated it, and I think it's a wonderful statement. He said concerning this thing of giving, he said, if you tithe, you're under the law. He said, if you give less than tithe, you're an outlaw. He said, the only thing to do is give more. First time I ever heard that, that was like, wow. All right, so you know what I could do at that moment? I could make my number 12. All right, I'm going to make it 12%. See, if I tithe, I'm under the law. If I don't tithe, I'm an outlaw. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to make my number 12. You know what I've done at that moment in time? Taken all the grace out of it. I have removed all the grace. I've made it a law again. Does that make sense? Paul said, this is not by commandment. This is grace. This is grace. Our Lord has made it very clear in His Word. It is better to give than to receive. Our Lord encourages giving. He encourages giving. He encourages giving. Look at the end in chapter 9, the end of verse 7 says, last few words at the end of verse 7, God loveth a cheerful giver. And He does. He's made that very clear in His Word, but Paul is telling us true giving is not giving because you have to. That's not giving. That's not giving. Chapter 8, back in chapter 8, verse 8, He said, I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness. That word means willingness. It means eagerness to care for. He said, I'm trying to encourage you to be eager to care for each other. Take care of each other. Love each other. The forwardness of others. And to prove the sincerity of your love. That's why I'm telling you this. God's children love. We just read a minute ago, love is of God. God is love. God's children love, and they have a desire to prove it. They have a desire to prove their love for God and for His people. And that's what we're being exhorted to do here. Love each other and prove it. Verse 9 says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that you through His poverty might be rich. What He's saying is, Christ proved it. He proved it. God so loved the world, and He proved it. He proved it. He gave. He freely gave. He gave all of it. He didn't do it out of commandment. Paul said He did it out of grace. It's grace. It's grace. He did it because He wanted to. He did it because He wanted to. He did it not begrudgingly. And that's what He says in chapter 9. Don't give grudgingly. He said, if it's grudgingly, don't give it. And Christ did not give Himself. He did not lay down His life. You know, He went to the cross, and we read of all of His sorrow, all of that terror, all of the horror. He said, Father, if it's possible, let this moment of all this sin that I'm feeling and enduring, let this pass from me. But He said, for this cause came I into the world. I came to go to the cross. That's the whole reason I'm here. And He did it willingly. He did it because He wanted to, of His own free will. His own free will. He went for the joy, it says. He went because there was love in His heart for His people, and He wanted to prove it. And He did. So Paul is saying, let's do the same thing. Let's prove the sincerity of our love for God and for each other. One man said this. He said, how can we who are loved in such a way, talking about the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, though He was rich, He made Himself to be poor for our sakes. He went to the cross for our sake. How can we who are loved in such a way not also love? How can we not also love? The Apostle Paul said, he quoted, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, maranatha, cursed when He comes back. And one pastor in response to that said, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, how could you not? How could you not? How could we not, who have been loved so much, not also love? That man went on to say, how can we who are the recipients of such grace and mercy not be gracious and merciful to others? Kind. Considering the depths of grace, considering the fact that our cup runs over, it just runs over, how could we not pass that love along to others? So verse 10, he said, herein I give my advice. And every time I read that, I think, you know, that's something I probably need to pay attention to. An apostle of God is saying, let me give you some advice. Herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you who have begun before not only to do, but also to be forward or willing a year ago. He said, the mind and the heart is there. I know it's there. He said, you were talking about this a year ago. God has put a willingness in there. And he said, now I want to encourage you to do it. I want to encourage you to do it. Verse 11, now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which you have. As you see brethren who are in need, love them, help them, do for them, care for them as Christ has done for us. Everything, we're going to be cared for all of our days, aren't we? And the Lord's going to care for all of His people. But He's going to use us to do it. He's going to lay it on our hearts to take care of each other. And James said, if a brother or sister be naked and destitute, and there are brethren who have gone through things where, you know, they get to a place where they feel like, I'm about to be naked and destitute. I'm losing it all. I know believers who've lost their houses. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute, and that's all of us as we stand before God in His flesh, isn't it? Naked, no robe of righteousness, completely destitute of anything to merit any worthiness before God. And James said, if you see a brother or sister who's naked or destitute, and you say to him, be warm and filled, but you don't do anything for him, what does it profit? That's how every one of us stood, and Christ saw us in our nakedness and in our destitution, and He did something for us. And James is saying we need to do the same thing. Go with me over to Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2, verse 11, it says, wherefore remember that you being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For He is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in His flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in Himself of twain one new man, so making peace. And that He might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and He came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. For through Him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. You know what grace is built on? But God did something. That's what the gospel of grace is built on. God did something. He loved in word. He loved in deed. Let me show you this. Go to 1 John chapter 3. First John 3, verse 16, it says, "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." Thank God Christ didn't just love us in word and in tongue. He loved us in deed and in truth. Well, back to our text, 2 Corinthians 8. Verse 10, he said, "And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you who have begun before, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Now, therefore, perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which you have. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not." God's people have a heart to give it all. They do. They have a heart to give it all. They're so grateful for Christ. They're so grateful for what He's done. They get a small glimpse of eternity. They get a moment to realize that the earth is going away. It's all going away. These bodies are going away. Our houses are going away. The land's going away. The money's going away. The bank accounts are going away. It's all going away. And God's people see that, and for one moment they realize the gospel's everything. The Word of God is everything. The glory of God is everything. Being found in Christ is everything. Eternity is everything. And they honestly say in their hearts, "I'd give it all. I would give it all." But we can only give what God provides for us to give. We do have houses, and we promised the bank we would pay the bank. Our Lord said, "Owe no man anything." That means pay the man. We have we bought a car, and we told that car dealership, "We'll pay you. Pay the man." We have children. Our God said, if a man won't provide for his own, he's worse than an unbeliever. Feed him. Go to the grocery store. Buy stuff. And we can only give what God provides for us to give. God's people do have a heart to give it all. But we can only give the amount He has given us. Every dime comes from Him. We can't add one cubit to our stature. Can't decide to just go increase my pay. Well, I'm a hardworking man. I got a good mind, and I'm tired of being poor. I'm going to go make more money. God gives the money. The Lord gives. The Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And we can only give what God provides us to give. And whatever that amount is irrelevant. I want to relieve you from all responsibility of giving. The ministry will be fine. God will provide for this as He sees fit. He will support it as He sees fit. He will bring whatever He needs to bring from the far ends of the earth. If He has laid on somebody's heart in Russia to write a check to Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church, that's what He'll do. So I just want to relieve everybody. You just don't have to give. This is not by commandment. God will provide. Our amount is irrelevant. It's the heart in the matter. That's what He's saying. It's the heart in the matter that God looks on. He said in verse 12, if there be first a willing mind, if there's a happiness in it, if there is a joyful willingness, then he said it's accepted of God. It's accepted according to that he has. It's accepted. No matter how much it is or how much it's not, it's accepted. Now, if your Bible's like mine, you see there in verse 12, if there be first a willing mind, there's a reference. You see Mark 12 and Luke 21, those references right there. Those are to the story of the widow with the two mites, which we looked at last Sunday morning. The widow that had those two mites. I want to show you a different example. Okay, he's given an example of, it's not how much you give. The Lord said, those rich men are slinging it in there. They want everybody to hear that change rattling. That poor widow dropped in two mites. He said, she gave all she had. She gave more than all of them put together. So he's saying it's not how much you give. And he gives that for a reference. I want to show you a different one. Go to Matthew 10. Matthew 10, verse 40. He that receiveth you, receiveth me. And he that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. Now, let me tell you what that means. God calls a man to preach, and he sends him somewhere to preach. And somebody takes him in, opens their home to him, cooks a meal for him. They have received a prophet. God Almighty says whoever does that is going to get the same reward the prophet gets. Just as important. And if it's not even a man who's called to preach, a child of God, a righteous man, we have a conference and our brethren come in from other places. They want to hear the preaching and we open up our homes and we have a brother or a sister from another congregation and we feed them and we house them. And he said, you're going to get the same reward. Verse 42, and whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones. And he's not even talking about the preacher. He's talking about a brother or sister. One of these little ones. A cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple. Verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. What is his reward? The joy in the heart that comes from doing it. That's the reward. The joy in the heart that comes from doing it. As a preacher, I can tell you that the reward for me is if God will bless His Word. It's not by man's might. If I had the ability to bless all of your hearts every time I stand up, I would do it. But it's not in my ability. All I'm doing is slinging seed. And it's up to God's Spirit to bless the hearts of His people. But when He does, and I step back and realize God just did something. God just moved on the hearts of His people. They were glad. They were joyful. They rejoiced in Christ their Savior. They were thankful. They were this. They were that. That's my reward. I thank God. It's just joyful. The joy of doing it. And in doing it, the remembrance of what Christ has done for us. That's our reward. Don't you love that moment when Christ moves on the heart and really lets us enter into what Christ has done for us? That's our reward. Somebody will read that and say, well, yeah, but that wasn't much. He didn't give much and he didn't even give any money. A cup of cold water. Giving doesn't have to have anything to do with money. Doesn't have to have anything to do with money. Maybe that man didn't have any money. Maybe God had not provided him any money to give. He thought, I got two working hands and two working feet, and I can go get a cup, and I can fill it up with cold water, and I can give it to you. God says, whoever does that in the name of being a disciple of Christ, I just want to serve God's people. That's a disciple of Christ. I want to serve Him. And how did He say to do that? Through my people. Inasmuch as you've done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it to me. Our Lord said, whoever does that in the name of being a disciple of Christ, just because of what Christ has done for him, for Christ's sake, God said it's going to be accepted. It's going to be blessed. And I'm not going to turn over there. I was going to close out by showing you Philippians 4. The Philippians were one of the churches in Macedonia. And Paul was thanking them for their gift. Apparently they gave often. They gave to Paul to give to these poor saints. They gave to Paul on numerous occasions. And he was thanking them for it. And he was telling them, the Lord is going to provide for you for this. He's going to take care of it. Just as He's taking care of everything spiritually for you, He's going to take care of everything physically for you also. You're not going to suffer for this. God loves a cheerful giver. That's the summary of it all. And He said, you're not going to suffer for it. And that's why God loves Christ so much. Cheerful giver. Cheerful giving. So may our Lord cause us to take the apostles' advice. He said, that's my advice to you. And may the Lord cause us to take it and do it for Christ's sake. All right, you're dismissed.